This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 13th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
This will convene the open session of the Federal Election Commission for today. I apologize for the delay, but sometimes these occur when there's new documents being prepared to look at, and it takes time to digest them and figure out what steps you want to take in connection with the drafts that are forthcoming, and that's what happened here. We're taking up the first matter with respect to the request by the House of Representatives to permit public use, campaign funds for use in connection with improvements to residences for purposes of safety. And we have a number of documents that are been made blue, which we call ones that have been on file, that you can see that address that issue. First of all, I'd like to just thank Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving, who's with us today, and his assistant, Tom Blodgett, Deputy Sergeant-at-Arms, for working with us in the process and for your ingenuity in deciding to take a run at this approach for the Federal Election Commission to consider. And I know that the people that you worked with have thought you've been really great to work with. And I wanted to also mention that I did have a conversation last night with by telephone, basically just saying the same thing, that it's been nice to have him here to work with. The the exception that we're talking about today has three minor differences, and we have I know that there's votes to no matter what will happen, I want you to know at the outset of our conversation that ultimately the commission wants to move forward with granting that request, and we have some ways that we see things differently, but I think ultimately we'll have no difficulty in the long run in providing that relief. The three documents changed a little bit, and I'd like to address some of the changes that are before you. There are the path I took with what's called Draft B. Draft A, which you're quite aware of, grants the request pretty much as requested, and that has the support of a significant number of commissioners here. I made a proposal on my own that's different, but ultimately I believe that when the push comes to shove, that AO draft should be ultimately prevail if it has to. The difference between the proposal that I made and the one that has the and draft A and mine is draft B, a difference in a couple of respects. We have experience with providing exceptions to the personal use in the past in three instances with respect to members of the House. And in those particular cases, each particular member came to the House, specified the nature of the threat, and usually it was in the after a significant matter occurred, and made a specific proposal with respect to the type of improvement wanted. In each instance, the commission has granted that. And I think it's safe to say that if people want to continue that process, no matter what happens today, and I'm not saying that it would change things, we have in place the beginning of a tradition to permit that use of campaign funds for that purpose. In each of the instances, at least there's not been more than I think the top amount of money that was expended was $7,000. And in the one in draft A where I have my own concern was that as drafted, there's no limit on other than what's called reasonable on the amount of money that can be spent. And as you know, the way the draft aid provides for, any member of the House can automatically use that money, does not have to come to the commission. For those reasons, I thought that we should cabin in that to have an amount that, if I were counsel, I would want to have some guidance on what I could tell my client. So I suggested, in draft B, $15,000, for example. And I also suggested that we have a term within which we take another look in a year and see what, if anything, can be done at that particular time. We would have a chance to look at the actual nature of the threat with more precision. We would know to a greater degree the extent to which the Senate would have comment, and we could see how well it was working for all of us. That's not in draft A, and I think that those are the two main, the three main differences, as I see it, between those two. Commissioner Weintraub proposes some changes from last night. They've been considered by three of the commissioners, and I think there'll be some discussion back and forth on that. But overall, I think that's pretty much where we stand, rather than try and run everybody through the separate documents. But I would like to thank the Sergeant-at-Arms, Mr. Irving, and invite you to make any comment you might at this time. And by the way, if in the process of going back and forth, you have something you want to add, you certainly feel free to do that. But welcome, and have a seat, and Mr. Blodgett, do the same.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I do have a brief statement. I thank you for the opportunity to appear before you this morning. Thank you for considering the critical issue of allowing members of Congress to use campaign funds for non-structural residence security systems and monitoring of those systems. Technology has transformed the threat environment that confronts elected officials. The proliferation of internet and social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook, along with the dark web, has created avenues for individuals to make threatening statements directed at members and their family members, and disseminate information such as addresses, PII, with a cloak of anonymity. Members also face in-person threats. They have been followed and harassed from town hall meetings and have had items left at their residences and residents broken into. United States Capitol Police thoroughly investigate each threatening incident. However, threat investigations are, by their nature, reactive. Valuable time may pass before the individual making the threat can be identified. Capitol Police cannot initiate an investigation until a threat has been made. A threat assessment is a term referring to a background threat or direction of interest investigation into a particular member. Threat assessments are resource and time intensive. They require a fair amount of lead time, and unfortunately, violence or harassment of members and their families does not always wait for a thorough investigation. Many individuals act on impulse, and many of them have never made a threat before the assessment is conducted. This was the unfortunate situation on June 14th. The mitigation of these unknown threats is difficult. However, one method is to install residential security systems. Installation of these systems offer protection to a member and their family, and I believe that every member should have a residential security system due to the threat environment that they face solely because of their elected status. Again, I would like to thank the Commission for considering this advisory opinion. Thank you
very much. If the Senior Commissioner would like to ask a question or anything along that line. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for appearing here this morning. You talked about that you think every member should have a residential security system. What are the elements that you typically would advise be part of that system?
Residential security systems are fairly straightforward. Usually it would include a motion sensor. So if someone was to enter the home, Family would be aware of that. There are typically glass breaks or door contacts that would indicate whether a glass is broken or whether a door has been opened. And those, if a signal is triggered, then it would signal would go back to an alarm company that would notify the police to react. Many systems also include panic or duress buttons, so that if someone is home and realizes they're being broken into, they can push a button and immediately get contact with the alarm company and the police. So they're fairly straightforward systems.
Okay. Do you advise upgrading locks and other things like that as part of an enhancement of the security environment around a member's home?
Yes. Usually when a residential security survey is conducted, the company will recommend certain locks be upgraded, for example, incident to that. But I would consider the main portions of the security system to be those that monitor the home versus any structural change.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner, do you include cameras? Are security cameras typically incident or what you would recommend a member to have?
It depends. It would depend on the particular instance. Sometimes security cameras are recommended, other times not. I am not going to say a security camera is always a need.
Going forward, how, in your mind, will there be coordination? Or these are dangerous words right now, but any kind of, period during which you work with them on what they want. So do you know that, or do they just go ahead and at this point, I mean, based upon assuming draft A goes through, there would be no reason to require any permission from your office or certainly from the FEC either? So how would that work? In other words,
Members know that they can contact my office and routinely do for any security consideration, whether it's any security advice, whether it's for the district office, whether it's for their residence. So they know that my team can provide them, you know, valuable guidance. And actually, we can, if they do receive a security survey from an alarm company, we can validate that. So they do use us as a resource. There is nothing that mandates that. But it is a rather common practice.
Right. Any further questions? Mr. Goodman.
Is part of the security recommendations you typically make, there are a number of hardware pieces, cameras, locks, distress devices, sensors that you've mentioned. Do you include in what you're asking for non-structural security devices the services that are attendant to those devices, such as the alert system and the people who respond to your home?
I would include the monitoring as part of that cost, and that would be certainly those that respond, which would be either the alarm company or the local law enforcement entity that is tied into that system.
Thank you.
Anything further from Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for coming. I know that Congress recently appropriated extra funds to upgrade the security at congressional offices. Why are you seeking permission for them to use campaign funds as opposed to, you know, obviously they can appropriate funds that they're the appropriators. Why are government funds not being used for these security improvements if they are designed to protect people in their capacity as members of Congress?
I see this as another resource. I cannot address the issue as to why Congress limited to district office versus residence, but I can say that I'm just looking for another resource for members to use to enhance their security.
Have you suggested to members of Congress that, you know, they could do this? I'm just wondering why this route is being chosen rather than the other, and if there's any information that you can provide on that.
I really cannot. There has been discussion into it, and that's about as far as I can say at this point.
It's this goes to, in some sense, to one of my concerns about the process by which this is being put before us. As you know, under our statute, people are entitled to come to us with questions about how the campaign finance law applies to things that they personally are proposing to do. We have tried to guard pretty strictly the ability of we don't want third parties coming in and asking questions about other people's conduct, and also, you know, for a variety of reasons, you know, and one of them is that you're not a member of Congress, you're not the one who's going to be doing this, you know, I can't ask you questions that I could ask of a member of Congress. And honestly, as important as I understand the request to be, and of course I completely understand, we all understand how horrifying the events must have been, and terrifying, you know, I completely agree with you. We live in an increasingly fraught world where people show up at baseball games and pizza parlors with guns. You know, this is it's a crazy world that we're living in these days. And I think we're all sympathetic to the concerns that are being raised here. From a procedural standpoint, the reason that I'm willing to go forward with this request coming from you as a person who is not actually affected by the outcome of this is in part because of the exigent circumstances and in part because of the letter, the supporting letter that we got from Congressman Harper. I found that to be extremely helpful to me. He obviously is a member of Congress and would be affected by the AO, and I'm kind of importing his support into your request to give that standing, basically, to make the request. But it does put us at a bit of a disadvantage because you are not the person who's directly affected by it. It's harder for us to get answers to some of the questions that we might ask. In general, I think I've, on the three prior AOs, I supported, I think I was here for all three of them. I supported those AOs when members were under a specific threat. I do have some concerns, and they prompted some of the edits that I made about the limiting principles. You know, how far could this rationale be used? You know, could somebody, for example, say, I feel unsafe in my current home, so I need to move to a gated community and I need to use campaign funds to pay the higher rent and mortgage or mortgage at a gated community where there'll be extra security. I feel the need to have a high fence around my property or install bulletproof glass. I feel like my family is not secure, so I think I need to send my children to private schools and I want to use campaign funds to pay that, you know, based on my security concerns. I mean, one could imagine the principle of people being concerned about security and their role as a member of Congress and therefore needing campaign funds to buttress their security. One could imagine it, that principle being extended fairly far and to a place that I personally would have qualms about going. I think the fact that we are only talking here about non-structural changes to members' homes gives me puts me in a place where I'm willing to go forward with this on the assumption that it cannot be extended beyond the terms of this, and also the fact that I've suggested that we make sure that it's all explicitly disclosed so that, you know, because we're not putting, most of the drafts do not have a dollar limit on this. You know, I've done a little bit of Googling on my own, or my staff has, and, you know, most of these kinds of home security systems are not terribly expensive. You know, we're talking about a few thousand dollars, and that's been the case with the requests we've gotten in the past. And I think as long as we have it all disclosed so that members' constituents can judge if they think they're getting, you know, carried away with how they're using campaign funds, then I think that that resolves that concern. I do think that having the reason that I asked about using government funds is that I think I have a longstanding concern about the indebtedness that can be created between a member of Congress and their donors. And if they are, in fact, relying on their donors for their family's security, I think that sense of indebtedness would only increase. Now, again, I can get past that because it's going to be so diffused over, you know, the number of donors that a member of Congress has. But, you know, I think that as concerned as I know we all are that, you know, members stay safe, I do think there are some countervailing issues on this that we have to bear in mind. As the chairman indicated, I had made some edits to the first draft, which I guess was draft A. The draft that I suggested was draft C, which would again say yes, you know, but just, you know, put a few parameters on the outcome. So that's kind of where I am, and I agree with the chairman. I think everybody is looking for a way to get to yes here.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for coming this morning. I think we have at least three votes for draft A, which is the one that was put out last week. I'm not sure how my colleagues will vote on that, so I'm not going to make that motion at this time. But my understanding is that some may be willing to join us on draft A, so we'll see how the conversation goes. With respect to the comment of Commissioner Weintraub about this being a third-party request, as you know, we've considered a number of AOs in the past that, in my opinion, were far more of a third-party request than this one, including Senate Majority PAC, including Advisory Opinion 2013-6. And I won't bore you with those details, but this is by no means a third-party request. The Sergeant-at-Arms is the chief law enforcement officer for the institution and therefore is intimately familiar with the day-to-day threats that all members receive due to their status as elected officials. The notion that this would even be considered a third-party request in light of things we've done in the past just doesn't make a lot of sense based on our previous history. With respect to the draft that was placed on the agenda and circulated last night, we've taken a look at it, and there are some points in here that we won't be able to support. I'd be happy to walk through them, and maybe we can get some comment on some of the specific things. And then at the appropriate time, I can make a specific motion removing those things and see if it garners additional support. The crux of the issue that we have, or we want to go back to the language that's been approved in the past that allows for different security systems. So the first edit would be on draft C, page 3, line 20.
This is the blue document, right?
And you've been given a red line, have you not? They have not been given a red line?
I don't
line
think we have that, Mr.
This?
She's operating
draft,
from the blue draft.
The blue document.
Okay, but do you have a red line, Bridget?
I don't think I do, Mr. Chairman, okay. But I'll check here.
Jesus Christ. I don't want to. So, I'm going to make some changes shortly.
The red line's not going to help get on the track.
This is the red one.
Commissioner Weintraub's draft C from the initial draft A.
Everybody's got the red line here.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
Did you just give it to him?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, that's good. The idea behind the red line is to make it a little easier for you to track the conversation, I think, on different points of view.
Yeah.
Okay, so working off the what we call the blue document of draft C.
It's this here. Okay.
The gist of the edits that we would make to this are that we would delete the references to increasing the value of the member's home. Because I think it's fair to argue that anything could be seen as increasing the member of the value of someone's home, anything, even something insignificant. Another sort of overall comment is that we reinsert the language of the request as opposed to a different language that was proposed by Commissioner Weintraub. So at the appropriate places, we would put back in the request, which is residential security systems that do not constitute structural improvements. I'm not going through specifically. I'm just doing a general, and then we can go through specifically line by line. Some of the things that Commissioner Weintraub talked about, I think one of the things you said was moving your kids to a private school. I don't think that's constituting a structural improvement to the home. So I think that that language cabins it in such a way that that we are fine going through, and that's what's been requested. The other sort of global change is the notion that we would use this advisory opinion as a sword, as something to go against people who may have purchased a security system before June 17th is something that we're not willing to support. Obviously, this advisory opinion will be in effect as of the date that it gets four votes here, but to the extent that somebody purchased something in the past, perhaps they were relying on a different advisory opinion, we're not willing to go back in time and say something that you did is now a violation of the personal use provision. So we intend to take that out as well. And that's just a global overview of our changes. And again, happy to walk through them point by point.
Thank you, Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second one I have no problem with.
Which one was the second one?
You'll have to read the language, but it was the description of it as residential security systems that don't make structural changes.
Oh, right. The one from the Crest, residential security systems that do not constitute structural improvements.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We're just trying to simplify the language.
Okay.
And and since part of what I was trying to do was provide a framework for people to disclose it, we thought having a shorter term would make it easier in terms of disclosing it. But that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
What was the last point that you made?
The one about taking out the thing that it's a violation if you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let me just explain.
Just so people know what we're talking about, it's on page 5, lines 5 through 7.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Let me just explain what the intent of that was. And I made a point of using June 2017 so that if somebody, I didn't want to actually use the date of this opinion because I thought somebody right after the baseball game was scared for their family, went out and bought, upgraded their security 2 weeks ago, and we put out this opinion today. I think it's perfectly fine for them to take advantage of this opinion. I wouldn't want that person to be in a different situation from the person who was, waited another 2 weeks. That's not the problem. The problem that I was that I wanted to forestall was the possibility that somebody who, for their own reasons, because a lot of people like to have home security systems, might have installed a system 10 years ago just because they, for their own reasons, and now they say, oh, good, now we've got an opinion we can use campaign funds to pay ourselves back for these expenses that we've been incurring for the last 10 years. I don't think that was the intent of the request, but we just wanted that was the issue that I was trying to address there. If somebody had a specific threat that was analogous to one of the other opinions that we've already issued, and in reliance on that opinion, they went out and used campaign funds, I think they would be fine. But as I said, I think, if somebody's had a, let's say somebody's had a home security system since before they were a member of Congress, and they see this opinion and they say, well, now we're going to, reimburse ourselves for all of our home security expenses going back to the day we took the oath of office, I think that would be inappropriate. So that was the issue that I was trying to get at, and as I said, I was trying not to jam people who might have gone out and gotten home security systems a week ago, which I think would have been a reasonable thing for them to do.
Madam Vice Chair.
I hear what you're trying to say. I I can't think of a way of writing that that would not find it illegal for somebody who went back. And I do think people would have, my guess is if they went back and paid for something that was already, yeah, I think we're better off taking the language out, but happy to consider if somebody has an idea to try to capture that. I think, again, people can go back and rely, as you mentioned, on previous advisory opinions.
Could we say, you know, unless they were acting in reliance on a previous advisory opinion issued by the commission?
No, I don't think, because I think we don't ever want to say that, you know, this is a violation of something. Again, I think we're better off taking the language out altogether.
You know, because
Commissioner Weintraub.
Sorry. Unless otherwise allowed by a previous advisory opinion. What if we said, what if we simplified it to this guidance is prospective only as of June 2017?
Madam Vice Chair?
I mean, all of our advice is prospective only.
Right. That's why I'm not really... I mean, you're just trying to capture the people who may have gone out and bought a system between the time that we got the letter and now.
Well, I'm trying to make sure that those people are safe. That it's very clear that they would be protected, because otherwise, only people who acted after we formally issued the advisory opinion would be protected under this advice.
But let's go through the other edits and come back to that one. And we might have to take a quick recess in order to write up the edits and present it more formally. But we can consider that.
Did you have another comment,
Commissioner Weintraub? I think that last point is, I've got to believe that's a resolvable issue, because I don't think it's a big debate. I think the intent issue is going to be a little bit more of a sticking point for me. Because we are normally doing things that are related to your home would be personal use. You know, normally we would not allow somebody to upgrade anything in connection with their home as a personal use, and that's why I think we have to be very careful when we are carving out this exemption, that it does not end up swallowing the rule. And this edit was in direct response to a comment that we received from the Campaign Legal Center.
And what was, remind us what that specifically the comment said about the Campaign Legal Center. The Security Campaign Legal Center.
And by the way, I think that, you know, we're talking about non-structural changes. We're, you know, I think what I'm envisioning, and as I understand it, what the request envisions are basically removable objects, you know, the cameras and monitoring that, you know, would not be structural. They're not like fixtures to the home, but if you want to throw in a specific reference to upgraded locks, mm-hmm. I have no problem with that, because I think that, you know, on a multiple $100,000 home, which most homes are worth these days, the added value of improving the locks, I think, is not going to appreciably make a difference in the selling value of the house. So, you know, if that helps us move forward, I'm perfectly happy to say that lock upgrades are included within this. All right. So the comment says, the Act's personal use restrictions are objective and clear. They turn on the nature of the goods and services purchased, such as housing, clothes, non-campaign travel, and other expenses that would exist irrespective of the spender's officeholder duties. Draft A, in contrast, would provide that the key question is not what the spender buys, but rather what he or she intends to accomplish through his or her spending. That subjective inquiry cannot be reconciled with the text of Section 30114. And it goes on to note, and I'm not suggesting that that is what is being requested here. However, this comment states, as we noted in our comment on the request, spending that increases the value of an official's residence has been involved in many corrupt quid pro quo arrangements. And in recognizing members' legitimate and lawful need to secure their homes, the commission should not throw open a door to such corruption. I mean, you know, there have been cases that involved upgrades to members' homes using campaign expenses, or, you know, having people come and mow the lawn, or, you know, all sorts of things like that. And I think that was the concern. I'm not saying that anybody is intending that to happen here. I'm sure they're not. But it was just an attempt to tighten the language to forestall somebody in the future from drawing an erroneous conclusion from the language that we would put out today.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. So our intention would be to change that to back to the language that we've used in previous advisory opinions, which would be proposed upgrades which were not intended to increase the value of the office holder's property. Because if you install a security system, you're doing it because of the security threat, not to increase the value of your home. And I think it's fair to say that installing a security system, or even installing a motion light in your home, is going to increase the value of your home. So I don't know, I don't think your language is workable, and I think that the intent, again, is from our previous advisory opinions and does capture, in my mind, what you're concerned about. You don't want somebody going using campaign funds to improve their home so they can sell it for more later, but they're doing this in order to protect themselves.
Any further comment?
So are you, sorry.
Go ahead. Do you want to take a few minutes to see if there's any drafting that can...
I'd be happy to take some time, but we have three votes for we're not intended to increase, again, following the precedence of the FEC, and I just need to know if we have a fourth vote for that. I don't think it's a drafting issue.
Commissioner Goodman?
Let me try out a couple of concepts. To the Sergeant Arms, I'm glad you're here to listen, because I'd like your reaction to some of these edits.
Okay.
Okay, to make sure that they serve the security objectives that you're trying to achieve.
Which draft are you working off of?
I'm working on draft C.
Okay.
Because frankly, I share Commissioner Weintraub's concern about slippery slopes here. I thought many of your edits were constructive, and I agreed with some of them. I'm willing to work within the construct of C, but there are some of these. They're more legal concerns for us, but I want to make sure that as we address our legal concerns here, that we get you where you need to go to provide the security your members need.
And do you have a copy of draft C?
I do.
Okay.
And let me just say, as I approach these edits, what I am convinced of is that these security concerns that we're hearing, I'm sure you've had members approach you in the current political environment in which we live and ask you these questions. You didn't come here, I take it, sua sponte. You've had requests from members saying that they feel as though they need security services at their homes.
Yes.
Okay. And so you are representing those concerns here before us.
Yes.
Okay. So what I am convinced of is that a security service on your home has become an incident of holding public office today, and it exists because you serve in public office today. Now, as a consequence of that, adding a security service to your home may enhance the value of your home. Now, we haven't offered home improvements in the past, and so that concept of enhancement of value does get to personal use and personal inurement to the member. Here, since what we are carving out is a very specific exception to the personal use, by recognizing that this is now an incident of public service, I'm just concerned that telling them to tell the Sergeant of Arms and the members of Congress, yes, you can add a security service, including locks appropriate to your residence, but only if it doesn't improve the value of your home. I'm afraid that maybe as a practical matter, an encumbrance that you and your members may have difficulty proving, that they haven't enhanced somehow by adding cameras to their home the value of their home. So as long as we cabin in that this is about security services, that they are non-structural, I'm not as concerned if they happen to incidentally improve somehow the value of the home, because implicit in here is not someone remodeling the kitchen. Okay? So what I'm going to suggest is that on page 3, lines 19 and 20, we strike the proviso and the proposed upgrades did not increase the value of the of office holder's property. So that we don't put people in a catch-22 that, oh, gee, these locks may increase the attractiveness of your home on the market. So long as later we are going to have a litany of the things implied in the security services that we approve. The same phrase shows up on page 4, lines 14 to 15. The proviso, I would strike the proviso that do not increase the value of the members' homes. We would just put a comma after residences and continue regardless. And I don't know if I've captured everything that the Sergeant-at-Arms has covered here, but in the sentence that begins at the bottom of page 4, line 17, specifically, and this is where I'm sympathetic, Commissioner Weintraub, to what you're trying to achieve to prevent slippery slopes, to be as specific as possible. And continuing on to page 5 at the top, I just want to be sure that we cover all of the services attendant to the security upgrades that we're talking about. And so I'm wondering if it would suffice to, on line 1 of page 5, it currently reads cost of cameras, comma, sensors that we splice in, comma, distress devices, and similar non-structural security devices, as opposed to removable. The non-structural was the word used in the request to us, and I believe that's the concept that removable is trying to get at. And after security devices, put as well as locks, comma, in and around a member's residence. And the reason I separate out locks is because I think they are structural. I mean, I think you put a new lock on a door, that becomes a structural change. I think that an advisory opinion stands on all fours. This implicitly does say, in light of the current threat environment, and I don't want to start imputing guilt to things that people may have done in the past and may have a legal argument that it was attendant to their public office that they needed a security system previously. So I don't think we need to go declaring certain things to be unlawful when implicit this implicitly stands for the proposition from this day forward, and there are past advisory opinions, and we would be able to judge those if there were a murmur before us alleging that someone went beyond what we consider to be incident of public office. That those would be edits. Are there other edits that you had to this? I'm trying to collect them all here. Could you just provide? I'm sure. Which page?
Mr. Chairman, if Excuse I may, me. I'll just...
Commissioner Peterson.
Commissioner Goodman pointed out an instance of the concept of increasing the value of a home on lines 14 and 15 of page 4. That is also on lines 5 and 6 of that same page.
5 and 6. And Commissioner Weintraub, I don't have words here. I would be willing to work with you on a footnote, perhaps, because Commissioner Peterson just leaned over and mentioned it to me. I'm not trying to get personal inurement to enhance values of homes. We might be able to fashion a footnote, if we took a brief break, to say that implicit in these is that the intent of the security improvements would not be to improve the value of the home. To preserve that thought running throughout, I'm just afraid that putting it in the text in the way that it is, at every time we say, yes, you can have a security system, but not if it raises the property value of your home, I'm afraid that puts people in a catch-22, and it puts the sergeant at arms in a catch-22 when he has to give advice on what you can do and can't do with your home. But if we add an intent or some type of intent language in the document that the purpose of this is security and not to increase value of home, I think that would cover us from saying and being able to prove objectively that the improvements you made to your home here were really to improve the value of your home, not to provide security, and that was never contemplated by the commission. So I'm willing to try to preserve that concept. I just don't want to do it everywhere we tell the sergeant-at-arms that, yes, people can have it, that that's going to be a caveat.
Commissioner Weintraub?
I think there could be a path forward there if we say non-structural, you know, where we're taking out, you know, so for example on page 4, line 5 to 6, if you want to take out that did not increase the value of the members' homes, then I would want to add in use of campaign funds to pay for the non-structural security upgrades or otherwise.
That's fine, and that is the request before us, right?
Yes.
As otherwise specified in this opinion or, you know, language of that nature. You know, I think the concern that the commenter had, and I do share this, is that, you know, throwing intent in, you know, is really kind of mushes up what is otherwise a hard and fast rule. You know, it's like, well, I didn't intend to have it for my personal use. I mean, how are you ever going to prove whether what somebody's intent was or wasn't? Or maybe I intended it a little bit, but I didn't, you know. I
agree.
You know, it just.
I'm trying to solve the practical problem,
but. And I get that, and I appreciate that. And also, I think that we are in a slightly different posture here than we have been in the past, because in the past we had one member who came to us, and I think in all three instances they said specifically, I want to do this, this, and this, and this is how much it's going to cost. And this is going to be sort of a blanket opinion that, it will be a blanket opinion that everyone is going to point to and say, well, look, I was relying on that.
Mm-hmm. You could possibly do a little to your house but increase the value a lot, and do a lot but increase the value nil. But let me ask Mr. Chairman, with a sergeant-at-arms, can you react a little bit to this problem we're dealing with? Both we're trying to get you where you need to go as a practical matter, but also preserve our legal construct?
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, I do tend to agree with your perspective. Although most of these security systems I don't think would enhance the value of a home appreciably, considering the cost of an average home today, and these security systems are rather straightforward. And frankly, what makes a security system what it is the monitoring, which is a costly fee that the new owner would need to continue. So, however, having said that, I would tend to agree that any language that could constrain, that could cause an implication, such as, let's say, an enhanced lock, that could, in one could argue, could increase the value of the home, could be a constraint. So I do tend to agree that if we could remove that and go forward with the intent of what we're trying to achieve, I think that would be most helpful.
Can you, on the spot, I know I'm putting you on the spot because we haven't been able to do so just sitting here, come up with something other than intent as the cabin for this, because I understand Commissioner Wine, I mean, getting into the intent of people, but right. I understand it's not your intent. You're not worried about remodeling people's kitchens. You're worried about providing security to
security
people. So I understand your intent.
Right.
But for, we're getting ready to let these, we're getting ready to open this barn door a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so how do we cabin that? Is intent the concept, or is there another concept?
I think we can work with you. If you give me a little bit of time to work on it, I think I can come up with something that that narrows this down and hopefully satisfies both sides.
Let's take 15 minutes and see what happens.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready to reconvene. Madam Chair, do you have any motions?
Yes, we have a housekeeping motion that we forgot to do at the outset. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the following documents: agenda document number 17-33A, agenda document number 17-32C, agenda document draft D of the Sergeant at Arms Advisory Opinion Request, agenda document number 17-30B, agenda document number 17-31B.
Okay, thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passed unanimously. Well, I understand we have a deal. Somebody would like to discuss it first.
Would you like me to kind of walk through?
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have a deal, and that's a good thing. Based on our discussions, both, you know, in the public part of the meeting and in our little confab during the recess, we've agreed to make a number of changes to draft C that I think satisfy everyone.
May I just inquire, does the Sergeant-at-Arms have this current draft?
I do, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to be, I think the easiest thing for me to do is to key this to the red line version, which is going to be a little bit confusing for those of you out in the audience who don't have the red line version, but it'll make sense to the Sergeant at Arms and everybody at the table. This is draft D. We've just admitted this document for discussion as draft D, and the changes are as follows. In the paragraph that starts on page 3, line 12, if you go down to the bottom of the page, we have added on line 19 the word specific after recommended, and deleted the phrase at the bottom, the very last phrase on the page, and the proposed upgrades did not increase the value of the office owner's property. So the sentence will read, in all three instances, the Capitol Police recommended specific security upgrades to the members' residences due to the continuing threats, period. In the next paragraph at the top of page 4, what are lines 5 to 6, we're adding the word non-structural before security, and again deleting the phrase that did not increase the value of the members' homes, so that the sentence will read, therefore, the Commission concluded that the use of campaign funds to pay for the non-structural security upgrades recommended by the Capitol Police would not constitute a prohibited personal use of campaign contributions under the Act or Commission regulations. We have again deleted the phrase that do not increase the value of the members' homes on line 14 to 15 and instead use the phrase as described in this opinion. And then we have added more specific description of exactly what we're talking about at the what is now the top of page 5. And this is in keeping with the language that Commissioner Goodman recommended. So specifically, the Commission authorizes the use of campaign funds to pay for the installation or upgrade and monitoring costs of cameras, sensors, distress devices, and similar non-structural security devices, as well as locks, in and around a member's residences. Taking out the sentences, this guidance is prospective only unless otherwise allowed by a previous advisory opinion, residential security expenses incurred before June 2017 constitute a prohibited personal use of campaign contributions. The normal boilerplate that is in this opinion, I've been persuaded will cover us, that it always says that, you know, all of our opinions are prospective, but any person involved in any specific transaction or activity which is indistinguishable in all its material aspects from the transaction or activity with respect to which this advisory opinion is rendered may rely on this advisory opinion, which is explicitly based on the information about the current heightened threat environment experienced by members of Congress. So what we've done is we've made the kinds of improvements more specific. Explain that they will be non-structural in terms of whether how people can rely on it. People can rely on this, should it get 4 votes, going forward. people who in the past relied on past advisory opinions, which were based on specific threats to those individuals, you know, they would be covered if they were materially in a materially indistinguishable situation, they would be covered by that. So if somebody had relied on the three previous AOs and said, well, I also have experienced a specific threat and have, you know, made these changes in response to that and on the recommendation of the sergeant-at-arms, they would be covered. Now, if somebody going back through time had just decided on their own to upgrade their security without that threat, they would not be covered by those previous AOs because they would not be in a materially indistinguishable situation. And I think, you know, the reality is that should a complaint be filed, the commission will, of course, consider everything on a case-by-case basis. This is, as I've said, by its terms, limited to non-structural improvements based on the current threat environment, based on the recommendation of the sergeant at arms, and I think that is, you know, I do think that will cabinet in sufficiently for the purposes that everyone understands to be in front of us today. So I'm satisfied with this result, and I'm prepared to move approval of this document whenever Chairman deems it appropriate.
Thank you. I did have one question. What is the status of the situation in terms of the Senate? What kind of communications has there been, and have they indicated anything about this process?
I have spoken to the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, and he's aware that I was moving forward, okay. And he certainly endorses all of the items that I'm proposing.
And he understands that the way it's being drafted, the Senate will be included?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Next, then I think we have it on the language. I'm going to move my draft B. I'm going to lose, and then I'm going to support the draft D. So I would like to move. I'll just move my own draft, and I move draft B. We approve draft B. All in favor? Me. All opposed?
No.
Okay. All in favor of draft D.
Wait.
We need a motion for draft D.
Yeah.
Do you want to make that?
Because there's actually one more change that I forgot to put in it, recommendation of counsel, and that is where we talk about the reporting. We're going to add the word reporting to make it clear we're not amending the CFR through an AO, which, of course, we could not do. We're talking about a RAD document that describes adequate purposes for reporting. So this is on page 5 in the sentence that says, the commission will add residential security expenses to its list of purposes deemed adequate for campaign disbursements. We're going to add the word reporting before purposes, so to its list of reporting purposes deemed adequate. And with that last amendment, I move approval of draft D in response to the advisory opinion request of the Sergeant-at-Arms, Paul D. Irving, which is will be advisory opinion 2017-07.
Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we need you to announce the vote on draft B on your own motion, and then we can proceed to.
Okay. The vote was 1-4. I voted in favor, and the rest of the commissioners voted against. I thought that was obvious. Are we ready to go? All in favor of voting for draft D based upon the most recent oral changes by Commissioner Weintraub, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. Opposed? None. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. I admire their ingenuity to come here and put us through the system, and best of luck. And
thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you very, very much for everything. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I really do. Thank you.